It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, here we are in our Bible study segment. Ladies, if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Samuel. And our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, is here. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey there, Amy. Well, if you remember from yesterday, we saw that Saul had cornered David, and just at the last moment, God provided an escape for David by the Philistines attacking the Israelites, so King Saul had to go and deal with that. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel, and today we'll be in chapter 24, verses 1 through 7. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the Wild Goats Rock. And he came to the sheep's folds by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" So then David arose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Saul pursued the Philistines, chased them away from the land they had tried to sneak into and claim. Then he went right back to where he was and started pursuing David again. He'd been thwarted in his effort to capture David before, but he's not going to be permanently derailed from that mission. I gotta say, he surely is persistent. Too bad he uses that persistence for his own end and not to persevere in righteousness. Saul takes 3,000 men with him this time, thinking that the more men he has, the easier David would be to catch. Saul still doesn't get it. He's forgetting who's actually protecting David. It's God. It wasn't a coincidence that the Philistines should attack and word should get to Saul just as he had David cornered. That was God providing protection for David. Think about how many details were put together to make that all happen at just the right time. God isn't going to let 3,000 men find David either. Still, the chase continues. David and his men hide in a cave, trying to evade Saul's men. Now remember, David had roughly 600 men with him. So this was a pretty big cave. Again, can you see God in this? David happens to find a large cave to hide in, large enough for all his men. Saul happens to go into the cave, not to hunt for David and his men, but to go to the bathroom. Now, here's something super interesting. Well, it's very interesting to me anyway, so I'm going to share it. This part here that is translated to relieve is literally translated to cover his feet. Now, this was a euphemism of the time for relieving yourself. And I thought, well, how does that make any sense? Covering your feet? I don't even want to know. Well, think about what they wore at that time. They wore long robes, right? So when they needed to relieve themselves, they would gather these robes close about them so that no part of their bodies, their feet, and especially their genitals might be seen. In the Syriac versions, they translate this as, "and there he lay," which suggests that he used his garment to cover his feet up to keep himself warm. And to be honest, that would better explain how David could creep up on Saul and cut off a corner of his robe without him noticing. It seems most likely that it was actually a combination of the two. Saul went into the cave to take care of business, and once he'd done that, he lay down to rest. And that's when David snuck up on him. But I have to say, don't you just love how God included these details in his word? These were real people. They had real needs, like food, and, well, they had to go potty too. And it was at this highly vulnerable moment that Saul is alone with 600 of David's men and David. So David is standing there with his men, and his men tell them that God is handing Saul into his hands. They urge David to kill Saul and end all of this. By the way, there's no previous mention of God telling David that he will give David's enemy into his hands. Perhaps this is how David's men interpreted David's being anointed as king, or the assurances given to David that he would outlive Saul. Still, his men see this as providential, and they think that David should just go for it. Now, David is emboldened and encouraged by their words. He creeps up and cuts off a corner of Saul's robe, but that's all. And as soon as he does this, he's conscience-stricken for even having taken that small action against Saul. He returns to his men humbled and guilty and tells them that God doesn't want anyone to raise a hand against the one God has anointed. Even if God has chosen a new king, Saul was still chosen by God, and for that reason alone, no one should raise a hand against Saul as they face the wrath of God as well. So David prevents anyone else from approaching Saul. Saul finishes his business, rests, and leaves the cave. I wonder how long all this took. We don't know how long Saul was in that cave with 600 men trying not to make a noise. But in that time, David is handed his enemy, refuses to kill him, and realizes that God will handle Saul. David knows that God has chosen him to be king. He knows that God will take care of the details and that he needs to be careful not to sin while waiting for God to fulfill his promise. It is God's job to take the kingship for David, not David's. That was a mistake that Saul kept making. He kept acting and pretending like his actions were what God wanted, instead of going back to what he should have known about God in the first place and seeking God when his knowledge wasn't clear. I want to focus a little bit more on David here today, on David's actions and on his heart. David was surrounded by people all counseling him to end his flight and be done with Saul. But God restrained David from harming Saul. As David was in that cave, his heart stricken because of his actions against Saul, he cried out to God. Psalm 142 is attributed to David from when he was in the cave fleeing from Saul. It's a short psalm, only 7 verses, and we're going to read that right now. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see. There is no one who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. David always knew, when it came down to it, who his refuge was. He knew who was always listening and who was always there for him. Even though David did sin, did lose sight of God at times, we see here his focus is on God, his refuge and his portion in the land of the living. David lives to please God, and he trusts in the promise that God has given him. He knows he will be king one day. God's already told him that. So, my question for you today is, who are you calling out to? Even when others are attacking you, are you relying on God? Are you holding fast to him instead of getting vengeance on those who have hurt you or who are seeking to hurt you? David didn't kill Saul. He didn't even injure Saul. But he knew that the motive of his heart showed in his actions as he cut that corner off of Saul's robe. In his heart, David sinned, and he knew it, and it cut him to the core. And when God's spirit within him convicted him of his sin, David repented, pulled back, and stopped anyone else from hurting Saul either. What about you? When the Holy Spirit nudges you and shows you how black your heart is, do you respond with repentance, or do you ignore that correction? We aren't always going to do this perfectly. But when we learn to listen to God's word, when we memorize it and have it on our hearts, we are better able to understand and respond appropriately when the Holy Spirit is refining us. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to be receptive to correction and rebuke, and to be repentant when we need to repent. It isn't easy. But remember who your refuge and strength is, your ever-present help in times of trouble, and cling to Him.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.